Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, welcome to another edition of Family Answer Man. I'm Jay Fitter. This show airs live every Thursday morning at 11 a.m. Pacific time. You can also listen to the show recorded. If you go to familyanswerman.com, you can listen to this show as well as all previous episodes. So check that out if you don't have time to listen to it live when we do record it. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at Family Answer Man and like us on Facebook at Family Answer Man. We'll get more information, current updates on both Twitter and the Facebook page about upcoming topics and various things like that. You can contact the show live if you'd like to at this number I'm going to give you, but this number is only good when the show is recording live, and that is 855-279-3758. It's 855-279-3758. After that, if you want to contact the show or have questions, you can go on to the website, familyanswerman.com. There's a place to submit questions where I will respond to you either back through email or on the show. If I do it on the show, it will be anonymously and will not mention your name. If you want to contact the show after hours or times when the show is not being recorded any other day than Thursday at this point, you can call at 951-272-8304. That's 951-272-8304. Okay, have to mention also, I do it like I do at the beginning of each show, this is an educational show not designed to take the place of psychotherapy. So if you are in need of therapy, you need to seek that out individually. This show is not designed to take the place, although it will give you a lot of good information and ways to help relationships and individual issues, problems that are going on. It still not serves that purpose because it's not a face-to-face thing, which is an important aspect of therapy. A little bit about me. Once again, my name is Jay Fitter. I am a licensed family therapist, been in practice for 23 years. And I've worked with pretty much any topic you can think of relating to families, parenting, individual problems, children's, teens, abuse, depression, anxiety, kind of the whole thing. I also do parenting workshops and am the author of a book titled Respect Your Children, which is, in my opinion, probably a top 10 book out there. But that's just my opinion. So anyway, last week we talked a bit, I got to get the show number ready. If you want to call in, 855-279-3758. But last week we talked a bit about sex and marriage and relationships and how it can be healthy. And it's certainly a very important part. Because if you think about it, how many of you know of a marriage, barring any physical issues, where they do not have sex, and you would consider that a healthy marriage? I don't know of any that I can think of. I do see people in marriages that do not have sex in their life because of various medical issues and things like that. But when that's not it, when they just simply don't, it's not a healthy marriage. One person might feel like, gee, I'm perfectly fine with it, but pretty darn sure the other person doesn't feel the same way. So, sex is a very important part of a healthy marriage. But today I want to talk a bit about how sex can be unhealthy. Now, this is not going to be an exhaustive list, so there's certainly other areas and ways in which sex can be unhealthy, but in relationships, but I'm just going to hit on a few that I think are important. The first one I want to touch on is pornography addiction. A lot of people use pornography as part of their sexual relationship. But I'm talking more specifically about, and this more pertains to guys, I think, than girls. I'm not saying exclusively, but I would say more so. And that is guys who use pornography to get gratification and then wonder why their love life at home is so poor. Excuse me. There's a lot of reasons for this. First of all, a couple of things I want to touch on is it creates unrealistic expectations. Okay? We see the girls in pornography, the way they look, very often as a result of multiple surgeries, it's a result of eating disorders, other things like that, and good photoshopping that caused them the way they do. Next, they do a lot of things that our spouses would not be willing to do or interested in doing. Well, they're getting paid. They have a lot. A good percentage of these women have significant issues who do pornography, have significant problems in their history with parents, with abuse, with other things going on. So it makes it quite difficult then when we start to compare our marriage and our sex life with what we're seeing in pornography. So that's setting ourselves up for failure. That's one way that sex can be unhealthy in marriage is we can have unrealistic expectations. Another thing that pornography does is it has a tendency to objectify women. Okay, because when you're seeing pornography, it's serving only one purpose. There's never any discussion about this woman, her life, her history, her issues, problems, things she has going on, because nobody cares about that, and that doesn't create the desired result. So they're seen as an object, like any other object you own, a car or food or anything that simply creates an immediate gratification. This serves my purpose, but when it's done, I don't really care about that cup of soda that I just threw in the trash can because I'm done with it. I had a Coke, and so I'm done, and I threw the cup away. I don't care about that cup after I throw it away. And that's what it sort of does to women, is it creates a sense of they become an object. So you can see that even though it's not intentional, beginning to view women in that way as objects makes it quite difficult then to have a healthy relationship, to see them as a whole person. Okay, so that's the first one, porn addiction, as far as aspects of unhealthy sex. Next one has to do with molestations. This is kind of a depressing, I guess, episode today. But this is real. I mean, I can't count the number of people that I've seen who've been molested as children. You know, I've seen some as children, but even more as adults, and seeing the devastating effects it has on their relationships. And this is one, like I said, the last one, more often affects guys as far as porn addiction and such. This one more tends to affect women. Once again, not exclusively, but I would say more so. And that is girls who they're molested when they're younger. They're at an age, maybe they're 4, 5, 6 years old, and they're trying to understand what is normal, what is not normal, what is love. And in a normal, healthy relationship, love is expressed to them in the way of caring for them, you know, providing for their needs, you know, hugging them, supporting them, encouraging them, saying positive things, being there for them, showing up at their events, whether school or going to conferences, doing the things, you know, putting their drawings up on the refrigerator, those kinds of things. But children who are molested when they're young, it kind of gets skewed. They begin to see that love is not just those things, but it's also sexual acts. So then as they get older, and they may be teenagers and things, they begin to feel like, if I want my boyfriend to stay with me, if I want him to like me, I have to have sex with him, because if I don't, that's not expressing love to him, and he's not going to want to stay with me. Or You have the guy saying that to the girls. Hey, if you want us to stay together, you've got to show me you love me. You have to have sex with me. And if a girl grew up in an environment where that was the way love, as she perceived it, in a distorted way was expressed, she's going to go along with that, which is just going to result in numerous downfalls as her life goes on. Another aspect of that is very often these girls will view their, how's the best way to say this? They view themselves as their physical appearance. Their physical appearance is, in essence, a sum total of who they are. Now, granted, our physical appearance does play a part in who we are, but it's only a portion. I mean, there's many parts as far as what you think, your beliefs, your thoughts, your feelings, your passions. All of many things make up who we are as a person. But someone who was sexually abused and sees and experienced that, that's the way they express themselves with guys and things like that. They see their physical appearance. That's who they are. And so once their physical appearance begins to decline, which happens to everybody, of course, the more money you have, the more surgeries you can afford, the longer you can postpone it. That's possible, but you can't postpone it forever. I mean, take a look at Joan Rivers. She has lots of money, and I don't think people even know how many surgeries she's had, and it's pretty obvious. So I don't want to go any further than that. But that is another example of unhealthy sex. That feeling of I have to do it because that's what I know and that's the only way I can express love and love is expressed to me. So it gets quite distorted. Okay, let's look at the third way. When sex defines a relationship. And I like to look at this in terms of sort of a stereotypical Hollywood relationship. We see two famous people, whether they're Kardashians or they're some other famous family, or Hiltons, or someone who, you know, celebrity who you see them and they look beautiful, and they get married 2 weeks later, or a month, or 3 months later, they're divorced, and so often that's a situation of they were married because they were sexually attracted to each other. There was just that physical attraction. That's what it was. And then as soon as that wore off, they're done. The relationship is over. And so if you're in a marriage, if you get into a relationship, and obviously physical attraction is important, and the sexual relationship is important, but if that is it, if that's the entire glue that holds the relationship together, it's going to wear out really quick. It's going to be like some really cheap glue that falls apart the first time you put any kind of tension or stress on it, okay? And that's another example of unhealthy sex. You know, some people, when they get together, the relationship starts like, wow, no, man, this is the greatest sex we've ever had. This is just wonderful. This is the best relationship ever. But if that's as far as it goes, it's not going to last. You're going to have a relationship that's going to be very short-lived, because that sense of excitement, that sense of newness, that physical attraction is going to begin to decline. And if there's nothing there, if there's no other foundation, then that relationship is doomed for failure. I like to think sometimes, I was thinking about this as far as trying to sense of how sex, the role sort of sex plays in a relationship. And I just sort of thought of this, and sometimes things just come off my head. And sometimes they make sense, and sometimes they don't make any sense at all. But I was thinking it's like my favorite cookie. My favorite cookie is a chocolate chip cookie. And so I thought, well, you know what? If you think about a relationship being like a cookie, a chocolate chip cookie, then sex has got to be the chocolate chips themselves. You know, because that's like, yeah, I really like the chocolate chips. When I bite into a cookie, if I bit into a chocolate chip cookie and there was no chocolate chips in there, it'd be like, oh, this just tastes like a plain dry cookie. This wasn't very good at all. But the chocolate chips, like, oh yeah, that kind of rounds it out. That makes it the chocolate chip cookie. But on the other hand, keeping that same idea of if sex is the chocolate chips, If I just grabbed a handful of chocolate chips, how long could I be eating that before I go, ugh, enough chocolate? I can't do that. I can't just sit there and do it. I mean, you can't dip a chocolate chip into milk. You can dip the cookie into the milk, you know. So the chocolate chip by itself, well, you know what? I can eat a few of those. It's okay. It's pretty good. But after a very short time, it's like, ugh, this isn't that appealing anymore. I'd rather, you know, it's not near as good as being baked into the cookie and kind of melted in there, and it tastes all good like that. So that's what I want to convey today. It's just the idea that the conclusion from last week is that sex is very, very important in a relationship. And a healthy relationship needs to have a healthy sexual relationship. But sex can become so distorted that it becomes a tremendous hindrance in relationships and then prevents it from going any further and often ends in destruction and, you know, from one thing to the next, from one relationship to the next, to just a series of disappointments. So that's pretty much for this show. If you have questions, you would like to discuss further specific issues you want me to address, feel free, like I say, to go to familyanswerman.com. You can submit your questions. Also, once again, on the Facebook page, Family Answer Man, you can like that, which and you'll be able to get more updates and, like I say, follow on Twitter, where I often give thoughts throughout the day. Sometimes I'll be addressing a lot of similar topics throughout the day. I never breach confidentiality or anything like that, but thoughts of things that are going on, and try to provide some helpful ideas and things to consider. So once again, you can follow Twitter at Family Answer Man. Next week, I'm going to be talking about, because it's been something I've been reading a lot about lately in the news, and I see it a lot in my own practice, and that is stress in kids in school, primarily high school, but junior high as well as college. And I want to talk a bit about the stresses that they go through, the healthy parts of stress and unhealthy parts, and how to get some of that under control. So if you know someone who is struggling with that, who's struggling with issues related to stress, kids who are just so overwhelmed, encourage them, or at least if they can't, their family members, to tune in. And once again, if they can't tune in live, because it is, like I said, at 11 a.m. on the West Coast, they can certainly go to familyanswerman.com, and they can listen to the show that was recorded. They can listen to that pretty much within 2 or 3 minutes after the show being recorded, so they'll be able to download it and get some information from it. So once again, thank you very much. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great day, and we'll look forward to seeing you all next week. Thanks.